Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
In a few minutes.
Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
I am quite satisfied with your work. You're a good apprentice.
Thank you, sir.
I demand all my workers to call me Demetrius, sir.
Yes, sir. Demetrius, sir.
Keep on what you're doing. I'm going to get more raw silver. The Feast of Diana starts tomorrow, and I always sell hundreds and hundreds of the temple and goddess replicas.
Aren't you going to the celebration, Demetrius, sir?
Me? I've seen so many of them that I'm interested only in selling my silver idols and temple replicas for money.
I've never seen one, Demetrius, sir.
One what? Oh, a festival? Nothing like it in the whole world. People come from everywhere just to see the pomp and splendor. Most of them end up worshipping Diana. Except those Christians.
Christians? Demetrius, sir?
Yes, Christians. A fellow named Paul is the leader. They worship a man, a living man. I mean, he was alive, now he's dead. But they keep right on worshipping him. They will have nothing to do with idols or images. Hurts my business, cuts down my profits.
Are there that many of them, Demetrius, sir?
No, not actually. It's that many people who aren't Christians, but who have heard Paul preach, have lost all confidence in idols of wood and iron and silver, especially silver, and don't buy them anymore. It has hurt my business something terrible, but I have a feeling that this yearly festival will bring many of the people back to worshiping the great Diana, and my business will pick up. And fun-making in honor of Goddess Diana, yet hardly any of them buy my silver idols. They buy wine, they buy books, they buy everything but my idols and I. Well, there goes one of those Christians. Say, there you Christian! When did you buy one of my beautiful silver idols of Diana? You think it is idiotic to worship an image who fell from outer space? Well, that isn't nearly as foolish as worshipping a man who was dead and rotten in his grave. I guess that'll insult him. Still aren't buying my silver images. Those Christians, I'd like to personally wring every one of their necks. They've even caused the attendance at the festival to fall off. And the enthusiasm of people who are here is noticeably less than it was before those Christians stuck their noses in Diana's business. And mine. Oh, I should lose money like this. Oh. We are all in the same business, making and selling idols, images and shrines of the goddess Diana and her magnificent temple. We are all also in the same position, so to speak. Poor business. Why? Have you lost your ability to shape copper into beautiful objects? No. Are your wooden idols less attractive and less worthy of worship? No. We are all craftsmen. We make beautiful objects pertinent to the universal worship of Diana.
We've gotten rich by our craftsmanship.
Yeah, true, true. Yet we all realize that not only here in Ephesus, but throughout most of Asia, the sale of our products has fallen off. We lose money.
But why, Demetrius?
Because of Paul and the influence of his band of Christians. They have persuaded many people that an object made by man is no god at all, and certainly not worthy of worship. Because of this, we lose money. And our craft is in danger of disappearing. Also, the temple of Diana may become despised and her magnificence destroyed.
It's obvious something must be done if we're to continue making money from the sale of objects dedicated to her worship.
Great is Diana of the Ephesians!
Great is Diana of the Ephesians!
I think we can come to this conclusion. Paul and the Christians must be stopped. Paul especially, as he is their leader. So let's all of us start a whispering campaign against him. Stir up the people. Make them angry at Paul. Great is Diana of the Ephesians!
Great is Diana of the Ephesians!
Fellow Ephesians! Paul and the Christians have to be stopped. If you and your children and their children are to live in any sort of affluence, glory to Diana of the Ephesians!
Christians are a menace to our very way of life. They must be stopped. Great is Diana of the Ephesians!
Great is Diana of the Ephesians!
fellow craftsmen. The rulers, leaders, great men, and the wise of Ephesus will soon be at the theater. So it's time we get Paul and take him to the theater for judgment and punishment. Paul isn't here?
Sir, he won't be back for a while.
All right. We'll take you two instead to the theater to be tried and sentenced by your peers. Meanwhile, we'll search for Paul.
You stay here, Paul, sir. They won't find you here.
But I must go to the theater and address the crowd. Tell them of Jesus.
Oh, but this is not the time, Paul, sir. And too, we just received a message from one of your important friends, a chief of Asia. He begged you not to come to the theater. They'll tear you apart.
So let it be. Oh, you're a wonderful savior, Jesus. Thank you.
Like the rest of them, but I don't know what it's all about. Do you?
No, I hear one thing and then another and another. Well, I thought it was just part of the celebration.
Well, so did I.
Oh, well, someone is holding up his hand for silence, going to say something.
You men of Ephesus are all well acquainted with the indisputable fact that our city is famous for the goddess Diana who fell to us from Jupiter. We're proud of her. And of the temple dedicated to our worship and of our beautiful city. Yet there is a man, his name is Paul, who goes about the country blaspheming the goddess Diana and trying to destroy her temple. If he's permitted to continue, soon our city, the goddess Diana, and we ourselves will fall into ill repute. Our life of ease and pleasure will end. So, my fellow Ephesians, Paul must be stopped. The only way to stop a man like Paul is to kill him. Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Want to go on turning, and why do the stars choose to shine? Who tells the moon when to change its face, and what moves the sun in a line? As he looked at the world of his father's hand, so much he wanted to understand. His countless questions, his curious joy, when Jesus was a boy. Suffer for sin. His sweet simplicity wondered why. This is a world where we all must die. The darkness of doubt he could not avoid when Jesus was a boy. After all, it's the children's task that they should wonder, that they should ask. Every boy and girl. And so you should not be ashamed of asking, no matter how pointless it seems. But no, there are questions that have no answers except for the answers you dream.
Welcome to Live with Sam. I'm Sam, and I'm here with my mother talking about health. Mom?
How's your radio project going?
It's going great. I'm on the air right now with you.
What do you want me to do?
I'll ask you a question about health, then you answer it.
Okay, but first, can I go brush my teeth?
Mom, you just told a bunch of people listening on the radio that you want to brush your teeth.
Well, brushing your teeth is good for your health. If you don't brush your teeth, you could get cavities or even gum disease. Gum disease causes inflammation in your mouth, and that could lead to heart disease.
What do gums have to do with the heart?
Well, my dentist told me that bacteria from inflamed gums can enter the bloodstream and cause your arteries to thicken and become clogged. Clogged arteries can keep blood from reaching your heart. So brushing is very important. I'll be right back.
Mom, we're on the air right now. We can't wait.
Exactly. No one should wait to brush their teeth. The dentist told me that as soon as I finish eating a meal, I should either rinse my mouth out with water or brush for about 2 minutes. How long is your radio program?
2 minutes?
Perfect.
Wait, we're on the... Okay, my guest today just went to brush her teeth, so I'm thinking brushing your teeth is important for your heart. If you've just eaten a meal, go brush right now. You don't want to rot your teeth or have your heart stop. This is Sam with Live with Sam.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
And we love the Lord. We follow our Jesus and we ask Him to lead. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 9, A Trap to Catch a Thief. "That's him," Maria whispered excitedly. The mysterious man slipped into the pastor's study. Maria turned to her friends. "Let's go see what he's doing." Maria crept silently up to the pastor's study door and put her finger to her lips to warn Chris, Sammy, and Jenny not to make any noise. Sammy and Jenny sneaked to the other side of the door and got as close as they dared without being seen. All of them heard the strange man pick up the phone and push the buttons to call someone. "Hi, it's me," he said. "Don't worry, I've done this before. No one will notice anything." Maria clamped a hand over her mouth. Her eyes felt like they would pop out. The man's voice continued, "It will work out perfectly. I've gone over the plan several times. I put it in the diaper bag so I wouldn't forget it." Maria's heart was pounding so hard she felt sure everyone could hear it. Creeping very softly, they sneaked back down the hall. "Did you hear him?" Maria asked. Jenny looked really worried. "Maybe we should call the police," she suggested. Just then, Yo-Yo walked up with her pink suitcase. She tugged on Maria's shirt. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Shh, we're trying to catch a thief," Maria said. Yo-Yo looked worried. "How do you catch a thief?" Without actually thinking about it, Maria said, "Well, you have to learn to think like a thief thinks. Then you have to catch him with the stuff he stole." Yo-Yo frowned. "I don't know how a thief thinks. I only wanted to help." "You're too young to catch a thief, Yo-Yo," Chris stated. "No one wants to listen to me," Yo-Yo murmured. "Oh, no, here he comes," Jenny whispered. "Try to act normal." The strange man came out of the pastor's study with a diaper bag hanging on his shoulder. He smiled at the Shoebox Kids as he walked by. Maria tried to fake a smile, but she discovered it was hard to smile when she was scared. "I'm sure my dress is in that diaper bag," Maria insisted when the man had gone. Jenny agreed. The diaper bag was sitting right beside Maria's dress, and that man was not too far away. It must have been him. Yo-Yo started tugging on Maria's shirt again. "But I thought you didn't want to wear the dress." "I want to now," Maria said. She followed the mysterious man to see where he was going. Chris, Sammy, and Jenny were following right behind her. Yo-Yo picked up her pink suitcase and followed too. "Why do you suppose he has a diaper bag, but he doesn't have a baby?" Chris asked. "He was holding a baby earlier," Maria replied. "Wait, look, he's heading toward the baby room. He doesn't even have a baby." "Maria," Mrs. Vargas's voice said, startling Maria, "why aren't you dressed for the wedding? I've been looking all over for you." Maria stuttered, but, she looked at her friends and Chris for help, but no one seemed to know what to say. Yo-Yo put her suitcase down and plopped down on top of it. She rested her chin in the palm of her hand and watched. "Oh, well," Mrs. Vargas said in a frazzled tone of voice, "the bride seems to be having problems getting ready on time, too. Have you seen the pastor? I need to tell him Angie isn't ready yet." They all shook their heads. None of them had seen Pastor Hill. But Maria wasn't thinking about Pastor Hill. She let out a big sigh of relief. Angie was holding up the wedding just for her. "Angie is so cool," she thought. As soon as Mrs. Vargas left, Maria spoke up. "I'm out of time. We have to make a plan for catching this dress thief. How are we?" "Wait a minute. I've got a great idea." She snapped her fingers. "This is going to work," she added. Chris made a face. "I've got an idea, too. Let's move a chair in front of the nursery and not let him out until he hands over the dress." "That won't work," Sammy answered. "Maria needs the dress now, not when that guy gives up. Besides, some adult will open the door for him. We have to find someone to tell, someone who will help us catch him." "We need Pastor Hill," Jenny decided. "Where is he?" "Wait a minute, everyone," Maria said. "If nobody likes my plan, we can choose another one. I think it will work." She huddled everyone together and explained. Chris and Sammy looked at each other with wide grins, then looked at her. "That is a good plan," Chris said. "Let's do it." Maria knelt down in front of Yo-Yo, who still looked sad. "Yo-Yo, do you want to help us?" Yo-Yo shrugged. "What do you want me to do?" "Can we use Liberty to help catch the thief?" "I guess so," Yo-Yo said. She handed Liberty to Maria. Sammy looked doubtful. How are we going to make him think Yo-Yo's doll needs to be changed? Chris smiled. Like this. Let me see Liberty, Maria. Chris took Yo-Yo's doll over to the drinking fountain. In a few seconds, Liberty had wet pants. Here you go, Yo-Yo. You have to hold Liberty when we go into the baby room. Yo-Yo didn't look too happy. What's the matter, Yo-Yo? Maria asked. I don't feel good. I wanted to be your best sister, Yo-Yo tried to explain. Maria was confused, but she didn't have time to figure out what was troubling Yo-Yo. Come on, before he leaves, Chris interrupted. He motioned everyone toward the baby room. Maria held Yo-Yo's hand. Can we talk about this later, Yo-Yo? I guess so. Maria wondered if Chris and Sammy and Jenny were as nervous as she was. The mysterious man was sitting beside a woman with brown hair and a pretty smile who was holding a tiny baby. Maria recognized the baby as the same one the man had been holding earlier in the multipurpose room. That must mean she is the baby's mother, Maria thought. She smiled when the man and woman turned to see who was coming into the baby room. They don't really look like thieves, Maria thought suddenly. Hi, Maria said. Hi, the mysterious man said back. Maria got bumped from behind. Let us in, Chris whispered. Maria scooted forward so everyone could come inside. Yo-Yo's doll, has a wet diaper. We were wondering if you, had a diaper we could use. Yo-Yo is my sister. The woman, who Maria was sure had the nicest smile she had ever seen, seemed to understand. Oh, Dan, would you get one of Tracy's diapers out of the diaper bag and give it to Yo-Yo? Sure, the mysterious man said. He got up and picked up the diaper bag from the floor. What will he do? Maria wondered. If he opens the diaper bag, my dress will be there. He'll be guilty of taking my dress. But Dan didn't seem to care if he were caught or not. He set the diaper bag on a chair and with a quick movement unzipped the bag. Maria felt Yo-Yo give her hand a big squeeze. She felt herself take a deep breath, but the dress wasn't there.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.